welcome to another episode of Rockin' Retirement, busier than ever and on a mission. It's actually the first edition of the show. Even though, Janine, you are an old school podcaster at this point, the show's just gone through some different iterations over the last couple of years, and our new format is going to hit on Rockin' Retirement. We'll explain why that is in a couple of moments as well. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about an apocalyptic prediction from the media about the economy and as it relates to social media. We're going to go over the five biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to financial and retirement planning. And we're going to answer some listener questions, all that on the way on today's program. Janine, good to be with you. What's up in your world?
Hey, Walter. I'm glad to be here. It's been busy, and we're going to get into some of these topics as we're talking because I'm actually living through them, taking care of parents, helping adult children, grandkids. You know, how does this all factor into retirement? What are people doing in retirement? I have people telling me, oh my gosh, I didn't know when I had time to work because I'm so busy in retirement.
Well, and that was sort of the, as we kind of rebranded and relaunched the show, that's sort of your vision, right? And why we're calling it Rockin' Retirement, busier than ever, because that's the feedback you're getting more and more from folks these days. There's no more sitting on the front porch sipping sweet tea, right?
No. People are busy. And I think that's a really good thing, because especially if folks decide they want to retire a little bit earlier, and we talk about that too, what keeps you going? What's your purpose? Because everyone's purpose does change in retirement. And staying engaged is very important for mental health as well as wealth health.
Yep, absolutely. Well, this show is going to be available on YouTube. It is a video podcast now, but we'll still be on all of the audio podcast apps as well. So you can subscribe or follow the show wherever is most convenient for you and however you want to consume the show. And we're also going to break out parts of the show into individual videos in case you want to consume it in smaller bits and pieces as well. Just check the show notes of the episode wherever you're listening or watching, and you can find links to subscribe, follow, and get more information on the things that we talk about here on the program. Well, all that stuff is coming up on today's show, so let's get it started. This is Rockin' Retirement. Time for headlines on Rockin' Retirement, and this is an apocalyptic headline, Janine, that we've been seeing for years, but I've been noticing it sounds like more and more often. Dire predictions from the media about what's going to happen to the economy. We could go a lot of different directions with this, but specifically I've been seeing a lot of concerns about Social Security, and they all say something to the effect of it's going broke, they're going to have to cut your benefits. We know even politically there's been some sparring over who's going to do what to Social Security and protect it and all that kind of stuff. What's the real truth when we see headlines like this? Is it really just there to stoke us and make us nervous? How should the average investor, saver, retirement planning human being interpret all this?
Well, it is a little bit challenging because all of the media messaging has been pretty negative about Social Security. And in fact, for a while over the last few years, if you actually read your statements on the right, the actual physical statement on the right side was first or second paragraph, it does say that the Social Security fund or trust fund or whatever is going to be not insolvent, but is going to be less than what it should be by about 2033, 2034. So that puts people in a panic because what are we talking? We're talking 10 years. And we still have 10 more years, roughly 8 years maybe, of the back end of the baby boomer generation retiring. And there's 10,000 people retiring every day, retiring, taking Social Security benefits. So that's a problem. But we've had more than enough notice for Congress to do something about this. So there is no trust fund anymore. It's the general fund. So the question is, well, how is Congress going to apportion money so they can handle this? Because the baby boomers are getting blamed for taking more of the social welfare entitlements. Well, by the way, we did pay into that for all these years. But what's really interesting is they're considering moving back the retirement age from 67 to 68. Now, if you were paying attention to the news, not too long ago, France was in an uproar because they were pushing back their retirement.
Yeah, major riots and some pretty incredible video out of France.
And holy smokes, I mean, their retirements are at younger ages than we do.
That was because they were talking about moving it to what, 63, maybe something like that.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. So right now, full retirement age is 66 and some months. you know, if you're the baby boomer generation, which is 1946 to 1964, and then it's 67 for everybody after that. What they're talking about is maybe for Gen Z, millennials potentially, because they're not going to do it to the baby boomers, to push that retirement age back to 68. Here's another way they're dealing with that, which probably nobody's really noticed. For a long, long time, Social Security was basically calculating Social Security benefits based on the Social Security base wage or wage base. And so for a long time, it was $40,000. Well, what happened, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years, 50 years ago, you had 15 workers for every one retiree. Well, now it's two workers for one retiree.
That's another planet, right? I mean, we're talking a whole another world at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So what they've done over the last 5 years is jump that wage base significantly. And last year, it was in 2022, the wage base for taxation for Social Security and Medicare was $147,000. This year, it's $160,200. Mm. So they're capturing more of the folks who are earning higher wages or salaries, you know, to go towards Social Security. And yes, most of that does go to Social Security, but Medicare is an even bigger issue. So they're not even addressing that. So yes, Congress has a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Sounds like, though, despite negative headlines that you might see, the solvency of Social Security, whether it's going to be around, your message, it sounds like, to at least the baby boomer population out there, is not a whole lot's going to change for them, not as much to be concerned about as you might think there is to be when you see the news.
Yeah, so they are projecting that it's possible that Congress is going to reduce the benefit by 25%, which would be significant for the folks that the average Social Security payout is $1,200 a month. So not a lot. And if you reduce that by 25% and then you have inflation on top of that, that's a killer for a lot of people. So they really do need to address it. They need to address how it's run and then, you know, payouts, et cetera. But it's not going away. It's not going to necessarily collapse. There are a lot of other issues. And holy moly, if we just stop sending money to everybody else in the world and work on our problems, it would probably be just fine.
So to put a bow on this headline conversation, if somebody's wanting to talk about Social Security, it's a part of the planning process that you take clients through, right? But it's not really a central piece of most people's puzzles.
Well, it is kind of a central piece because people do expect it to be there. So what they're not looking at is how should I take Social Security? Should I take it early? Should I take it at full retirement age? Should I wait till 70? Because there's a big push to wait to 70. There's a reason they're doing that. And that's some things that we talk about because everybody's situation is unique. And, you know, couples and divorces and widows and widowers, those situations are very unique. And so whether you should take it early or late or in the middle, it's going to depend on what it is you're trying to accomplish and what else is going on in your retirement planning.
Very good. Well, if you've got questions about Social Security, something that's on your mind, you don't know when to take Social Security, what's appropriate for you, maybe you've got a spouse and you're wondering how you should both handle that situation as a part of your overall financial or retirement plan, well, don't hesitate to reach out to Janine. You can get in touch very easily by reaching out. 443-718-6311 is the number, or online at theuswealthadvisors.com. And in the description or the show notes of today's program, you can easily find that contact information. This is Rockin' Retirement, busier than ever and on a mission. Our topic today is diving into the five biggest money mistakes in retirement planning. Now, we could probably, actually, we did come up with a list of 20, Janine, but just to keep things a little easier to digest, we're narrowing it down to five for today's conversation. Maybe in a couple of months, we'll do another five and then another five after that, and we'll sprinkle them all in over time.
But, yeah, there are a lot of mistakes that can be made.
Yes. Yeah. You've seen it through all your years. What, 20 plus years of helping people prepare for retirement and seeing, you know, your family members and everybody else go through it, too. There's lots of different mistakes that can be made. We want to help you avoid those mistakes here on Rockin' Retirement. We're busier than ever. We're on a mission. And today that mission is avoiding mistakes. So, hey, let's dive right in, Janine, and get to it. The first one, and we've touched on this in another video, is starting Social Security too early. And you talked about how that's one of the big mysteries of people's retirement plan, right? Is when to take Social Security. The mistake is doing it too soon.
Right. A lot of people are, you know, believe the hype that Social Security is not going to be there. So, oh my gosh, I want to get mine now. Depending on your circumstances, whether or not that's a good idea and whether you're still working is going to influence that decision. Because if you're still working and you're taking Social Security early, you're not only getting a permanent discount in the benefit, meaning a deduction from the benefit, there's an earnings test. And if you trigger the earnings test, you're not going to get the full Social Security benefit because it's going to be withheld. So, you know, you've got to really look at what your options are for taking it early like that, and whether it actually makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, if you take it too early, I mean, you've seen people do this before they come in to meet with you. Unfortunately, they go ahead and turn on that funnel or that stream before they actually put together their full plan. That's why it's such a big mistake, because you can't really undo that in most cases, right?
There is an option to do over, but you have to be able to, for instance, if you've been taking Social Security, and let's just use round numbers for simplicity, if you've been getting $1,000 a month and it's been a year, so you've got $12,000, well, if you want to do a do-over, you have to pay Social Security back that $12,000 to get them to recalculate.
Mm. You know, that doesn't sound fun.
No, and it's only allowed once. And so before you make, you know, before you pull the trigger on that, you want to make sure it's the right decision for your circumstance.
Okay, very good. That's why it's on the list of this top five biggest money mistakes you can make in retirement planning. Another really big one, Janine, and this is going to hurt some people's feelings maybe, but it's taking advice from friends and family on how to invest. How often do you see that go the wrong direction?
Well, over the years, I've seen it a lot. And it, you know, it was really bad in 2008 when we had the big debacle. People were hawking different, you know, company stock and everything. And
before the crash, people were listening to family and friends too much.
Yeah, so then you have the crash. And then, I mean, I can go way back to 2001 and 2. So in 95, when the market was, I mean, I'm sorry, 99, the market was screaming upwards. And remember big tech. So we had the big tech meltdown.
Yep.
You know, there was a lot of tech that was recommended by family and friends. And then you see people make those decisions and buy that stock, and then it just tanked. And there are numerous really sad stories, you know, that occurred after that. But, you know, in fact, just as a personal story, I just had my son contact me, my younger son, and say, what do you think about this? I think I'm going to buy stock in this company. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, let's do this analysis. What's the point of you buying that particular company stock? Well, it's going to go up. Says who? Are you in the boardroom? Are you making decisions?
Yeah.
You know, what do you know about this company, really? And because the market is random, so are stock prices. That's the big surprise for a lot of people.
And it doesn't always move in the direction you think it's supposed to move. Even when the data says it should move this direction, it's not always correlated in,
exactly,
in the ways that we
and,
would
you know,
think.
And, it would yep. Be. And Wall Street is just as bad at making these prognostications and getting people to buy. They want you to move money. And that's what you have to remember. It is the casino, and they want you to play.
Much on a spectrum of Vegas and sure thing, we're much closer to the Vegas end of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Went to Vegas, only the second time in my life, went to Vegas a couple of weeks ago, Janine, and it was just absolutely amazing experience to go back there. And for days, literally days, I was hearing the sounds of slot machines. And I mean, we didn't even actually gamble while we were there other than just like for like 5 minutes, and our money was gone. And I was like, all right, well, that was fun. But just being in the casinos, because we were just, that's where we stayed, obviously. And I just had to share that, because it's like, they know how to get your attention. And you said Wall Street's like the same thing. They know how to get your attention. They want you to move money. They know how to get in your head. So be aware of that.
And you have to realize that there's a physiological component to this. It's the release of dopamine. It can be very addicting. Oh, I picked a winner. I'm going to pick this one. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go do that. And
right.
It's a very similar response. And so once you understand what the game is, then you can take control of your game, because you want to play your game, not their game.
Right.
Really,
and that ties back into the taking advice from friends and family, because often by the time they're telling you about some of these things, that opportunity may have passed, or it's not the right fit for you. And there's, we could come up with a long list of reasons why this is one of the biggest mistakes, but certainly on the list. All right. How about number three? And this is a really big one. It's simple, but so many people just don't diligently do this. And that's failing to review and update your plan on some sort of regular basis. Do you have a way of describing what regular basis is for you and your clients?
Well, at least once a year. But what is very frustrating is when someone goes and makes a move or does something substantial and then comes back and says, oh, by the way, we did this.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? We should have had this conversation before you did that, because now this is you can't reverse this. Life happens. And I tell clients this all the time. Life happens. So you have to expect life to happen. But if you can take a minute to go, okay, let me go back and look at what I wrote. You know, estate planning is the same way. You know, the person who was the executor of your will, you may not like that person anymore. You may not be talking to them. You know, are you talking about legacy planning for children? You might not like that kid anymore. He doesn't like you. So you need to review your plans, because things change or life happens. And then you have to, you know, put things in place to accommodate. Yeah. You know, folks that, and it's human, you know, it's the human condition to just think that things are going to stay the same, or we want them to stay the same, and they just don't. So going back to review once a year, January is a good time because it's the start of the year. Just make sure that all your beneficiaries are right. You know, the forms are right, that they're still the same and you still have the same plan.
So at least once a year, and if there's a major life change pending or that you're going to make a big decision on something, that's another great time to review. So that's good knowledge and good to know that. That's maybe the difference that a lot of people don't realize. They have a lot of experience, maybe somebody who works with a broker over the years, but you're not typically calling your broker up and going, hey, I just had a grandchild, and, you know, telling them about your life. But as a financial planner or as someone who's helping people retire, that's a big difference from the broker side of the world, right? You want to hear those life events and things going on, because it changes the context of the whole plan sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had, over time, I've had clients say, when I ask about legacy planning, they all say, oh, I paid for tuition. That's all the kids get. If they get anything extra, you know, good for them. And I said, well, just to give you a heads up, when grandkids come along, you're going to change your tune.
Interesting.
Yeah, so and that's
it's not the kids you care about; it's the grandkids you're going to care about.
The grandkids. So, you know, should you start a college fund for the grandchild or children, and, you know, how should you set that up, and should you put anything in a kid's name, because it can affect things down the road? So, you know, kind of thinking through some of these. Obviously, even laws and regulations change, so that's why you need to review, because things do change.
That's why it's number three on the list. How about our fourth biggest mistake when it comes to retirement planning? That's assuming that you're not going to live a long time. And that sounds kind of like a depressing note, although some people use it as then a license to sort of like live it up, right, Janine? Like, no one in my family lives a long time, so I'm going to enjoy the first 5 years of retirement as much as I possibly can, which isn't a bad thing, but could have some consequences, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple clients say, I didn't expect to live this long, and they're in their mid-70s.
Oh,
and I said,
okay.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of like when babies come into the world, the baby kind of decides when they're coming into the world, and there's somebody else deciding when you're exiting. You know, so you need to, for statistical purposes, is, you know, married couples, both still alive, you know, that are 60, the statistics are you're going to live to 90. You know, there's a 50-50 chance one of you is going to live to 92. So happily married, living long, you need to plan for living to 90, because we do have the medical care. We do have, I mean, generally general health, all that other stuff. Now, obviously, this depends on the persons involved, but you do need to plan for living longer. When I hear people say, I want my last check to bounce, I'm asking, okay, are you moving to where they have death with dignity? Because
that's the only way to plan it that way, right?
Yeah, unless you're planning your exit, there's no way for you to know how long this is going to be. So the money, everything needs to last as long as you do. So how are you planning that?
I bet that one will resonate with some people, because there's a lot of folks that I think probably have that thought, maybe think they know how long they're going to live and kind of plan that way. And it's kind of like we have to undo that thinking a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, and things can happen. Everybody knows that. I mean, I had a client who was in phenomenal shape. He was on two soccer teams. He got in an argument with the ref at a soccer game, died on the soccer field at 62.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it was a shock to everybody. But that can happen. On the other hand, I have a client who's 91 and she's going strong and she's a lot of fun to talk with. And so she keeps saying, I hope to be not here next year. I go, I don't think that's up to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So stay engaged, you know, as much as you can possibly stay engaged. You have to plan for the longest period of time.
Well, you mentioned stay engaged, and that's Rockin' Retirement, right? That's why the name of the show, the podcast is Rockin' Retirement. The YouTube channel is Rockin' Retirement. And the whole idea is that you're going to be busier than ever in retirement. And the on a mission part, we're on a mission. You need more intentional decisions about your retirement. Yeah. We need to live with that purpose and stay engaged, because you might likely will have more time than you think in retirement. And so we've got to plan for that busyness. It's not sitting on the front porch letting things just pass you by anymore. That's not people's retirement typically.
No, and most people do want to become involved in something. And I mean, yeah, I have a brother-in-law that plays a lot of golf. He was a veterinarian. Okay, that's what he likes to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of my choir buddies is an 87-year-old lady that lives on an old farm. She is, I watch her walk and watch her interact, and she's fully engaged. And she's doing amazing. And so part of that is, what do you love to do? Because you finally have the time to do it.
And when you're loving what you're doing, you're going to stay busy with it. It's the opposite for the people that you're working with, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Stay engaged, because it is just healthier all the way around.
Let's hit number five. It's a little bit techie. It's called sequence of returns risk, the fifth big money mistake that people make. You're going to have to explain that one for folks, I think, Janine.
Well, the real key message there is to remember, or to think about, the fact that the market itself is not linear. Yes, over time, it goes from here to here. But, you know, in between that, it's up, down, and sideways. And so sequence of returns means, you know, in 2021, the S&P 5 was up 28%. But last year, it stunk. It was down 20%. It ended up being down about 20%. So you have these highs and these lows, and that's normal. So sequence of returns is expecting to get, you know, 6% every year, or some people like to tout there's 12% every year. That does not exist. And so you have to, in order to capture, you want to capture the whole market and not get caught in this, oh my gosh, I have to get X amount of return every single year. So sequence of returns mean, you know, you need to understand that the market is random. And so if it's random and I don't know who's going to be at the top of the market in any given year, I want to own the whole market. So how do I do that?
So you don't want to retire on a year when it's down 30%, and starting off your retirement like that puts you at a greater risk.
That's right. And that's actually what happened in, I mean, a lot of people do remember this, what happened in 2008, because from the end of November 2007 to the beginning of March 2009, so that's a longer period of time than a year, the S&P 5, which is what everybody benchmarks to, was down 63%. So that was a really bad time to retire for a lot of people, and so a lot of people didn't retire.
And so you're saying proper planning can avoid that. Even in a down year, someone could still have that confidence to retire if their plan is set up properly.
That's right. So if you understand what happens with sequence of returns, you can avoid it to a large degree by how your portfolios are structured and how you're looking at, you know, the investment world. Yes, there's so much out there that it can be overwhelming, because what actually applies to you, that's really important. But using the science and the research is equally as important, so that you don't fall into the many traps that are set.
There you go. Five of the biggest money mistakes in retirement planning. If you have any questions about something that Janine talked about today, you can get in touch with her pretty easily. You can call 443-718-6311 or go online to TheusWealthAdvisors.com. You can also find that in the show notes or down in the description of today's show if you're watching on YouTube and checking us out there. So check it out. This has been Rockin' Retirement, busier than ever and on a mission with Janine Theus. Hey, this is Rockin' Retirement, and it's a mailbag edition today where we're answering some listener questions, and I've got three good ones for you today, Janine. If you want to submit a question, feel free to drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube, or you can always do so online at TheusWealthAdvisors.com, and we can feature it on a future episode. Beth has our first question, and Beth's wondering about Social Security, and she says that she started taking it as soon as she turned 62, which was 2 years ago, so now she's 64. And she says, was that a mistake? Should I have waited?
Well, it depends. And that's only a piece of your story. Are you married? Does your husband, is he taking his Social Security? And are you still working? So there are a lot of components that go into this decision. And just making that one unilateral decision may not have been the best because you've locked in your Social Security benefit at about a 25% discount of what it should be at full benefit, and it's permanent. And if you decided you were going to take the spousal benefit from your, if you're married and your spouse has a higher Social Security benefit, when you open up your spousal record, it's going to be at a discount. So
discounts all around in the wrong way.
Discounts exactly in the wrong way. So it's really important to know what your options actually are. And is there a do-over? Can you, you know, put the money back and start over with a recalculation? Sometimes you can do that. So it's a pain, but it's really much better to take a look at everything else that's going on in your world before you just, you know, make that decision to take early Social Security.
Thanks for the question, Beth. It actually is interesting because that was identified as one of Janine's top five biggest retirement planning mistakes was taking Social Security too early. But actually, the simplicity of the question does shine on the other side of that equation that, yes, it's often one of the biggest mistakes, but it's not necessarily just we'd have to look at your full picture to really understand that. So
that's right.
Don't necessarily panic right out of the gate, but just be aware that that's a common one. So good question. All right, how about a question from Wendy? Wendy says, my mom and dad both needed nursing home care in their later years, so I'm really worried about needing it myself. I'm 63, and long-term care insurance seems really expensive at this age, but should I go ahead and get it for my peace of mind, if nothing else?
That's a great question, and I think we're going to try to do a whole show on long-term care options, et cetera, coming up. But it's becoming much more of a concern for the baby boomer generation because when you look at the statistics, 75% of those over 65 are going to need some type of long-term care at some point in time. So depending on the type of care your parents had, I mean, you might be able to circumvent a lot of that by keeping in, you know, keeping in shape, keeping healthy, keeping, you know, mentally aware, et cetera. There are many more long-term care options as well. So it's not just a simple long-term care policy, which is much like property and casualty. You hope you never use it, but you're going to pay, you know, every month or every year till you don't need it anymore. There are some other options that you know, different products that have long-term care riders on them, which are worth considering depending on your situation. So, you know, we don't want to make unilateral decisions, but because it's good to know all the other factors about what's going on in your life to be able to make that decision. But it's a definite concern, and it should be considered in retirement planning for everyone over 60.
Okay, very good. Great question, Wendy. Thanks for sending that one in to us as well. Last question here comes to us from Jimmy. Jimmy says, I don't like my 401k investment options, but my company says I'm not eligible to roll the money to an outside account, but I hear people talking all the time, including on your program, about rolling over your 401k to an IRA. So how does this work?
So it depends on the third-party administrator or how the plan is written. If you are 59 and a half, usually sometimes it's 62, you can do what's called an in-service withdrawal, and you can take the money from the 401k and put it in an IRA. any move from a qualified plan like a 401k, 403b, to an IRA, individual retirement account, is a custodian to custodian move to begin with. So there's no tax on that. So you should know that because a lot of people are confused by that. But, you know, why don't you like the investment choices? Not every 401k has great investment choices. I understand that. Can you work around it? If you're stuck in that plan, we try to work around it. But if you can move it, then we look for ways to move it. But typically it is dependent on the plan itself and whether they will allow it, and then age. There are options. If you're with a larger company that has what's called a self-directed brokerage account sleeve in your 401k or 403b, we can manage it. So that's something to look at. You know, does it make sense? But first and foremost is, why don't you like the funds? Tell me more about that.
Nice action plan there. Yeah, dig into that first and then see what the options are. Nice mm-hmm. to know that at least depending on the plan, there are a couple of other scenarios or directions somebody could head in. So that's great. Good question, Jimmy. And thanks to Beth and Wendy for their questions as well. Well, hope you've enjoyed our first edition of Rockin' Retirement, Busier Than Ever and On a Mission, the new show name. Been around for a while, Janine, doing podcasts in the space, but a little break and we're back with that new feel and that new look. And so Rockin' Retirement, we'd explain what that means to everybody. But since this is our first episode, just give us a little idea of, if somebody's heard something today that they want to take action on, they want to talk to you a little bit further about maybe questions they had about the Social Security element, or maybe one of those mistakes that we talked about in the middle of the podcast resonated with somebody, what's the best way for them to interact with you and do some proper planning?
So they can get a hold of the office. They can just give us a call. They can also schedule some time through the website. It's the US, Theus, wealthadvisors.com. And you can set up a 30-minute call that's just a familiarization. There's no obligation. It's just a chance to have a conversation about your situation, which I think is really important. I had a gentleman get in touch with us, and he'd already talked to 10 different advisors. And wow. And I'm like, well, what are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody who's going to give you the answer you want? Or the, you know, what do you, but he had already retired.
I bet he wasn't expecting to hear you say that.
No. And I told him, I go back to the people that you talked with, because he was very adamant about certain things. And I go, you know, I don't have all the answers. Nobody does. And what are you trying to accomplish? Because I'm more of a holistic advisor. I want to see everything. And I'm also the tough love advisor, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And sometimes I don't have to say a thing. I just have to take all your information, put it on the screen, and we go through it. And then you're looking at the numbers themselves and going, oh, I can't do that sometimes. So, so anybody who wants to, you know, have a conversation, the talking is free for the most part. Now, we don't do any planning in that meeting. We're just having a conversation, me getting to know you and your situation. So, but I think that's really important, because we have today it's so busy. Everybody's busy, or everybody now there's AI. You could just ask AI for your,
we don't your recommend answer. That. That's not no, a great
no,
idea.
No, I don't recommend that.
Please don't.
Cause just remember, you know, it's Skynet. No, just kidding.
I've seen AI spit out some pretty questionable results on some things. So I definitely wouldn't trust my life savings with it yet. So please.
Yeah, it's getting pretty interesting. But yeah, you can go to the website. You can call the office, 443-718-6311. And just, you know, get on our schedule for a call.
Perfect. Very good. Well, thanks, Janine. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to another full podcast episode next month with you. Don't forget, folks, that you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel and get bite-sized pieces of information and education about the financial world and landscape as well. That's all at Theus Wealth Advisors, or just look for Rockin' Retirement on YouTube. Again, links in the description, in the show notes, all that good stuff. You know the drill. Thanks, Janine. We'll talk to you again next month.
Great. Thanks much. Take care.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.